So we want to do that. I want to minister to you today the Word of God. Amen. The Word of the Lord is precious. The title of today's message is, Are You Worthy? Are you worthy? Let's pray. That would be a good thing to do. Father, as I walked with you this morning, you spoke this to me. And Lord, if I try to preach this, it's going to come across cruel and hard and arrogant. But Lord, if you preach it, if you'll open your mouth and you'll give us a drop of your wisdom, you'll change our lives with it. So Lord, we're not here to be beat up or to hear some angry preacher. We're here to hear what the Spirit has to say to the church today. And so, Lord, you bring your word. You shake our thinking. And I ask it in Jesus' name. And if that's your prayer, say, Amen. Amen. Now you said amen, didn't you? I've often thought how wonderful it would be to get to hear Jesus preach. I mean, to really sit under His voice, His anointing, and His ministry. I've thought how awesome and how powerful that would be. To sit under a ministry that was so addictive that people would literally leave their families and their homes and their houses and their lands to go and hear it and follow it. The disciples were challenged one day as Jesus looked at them and says, Do you want to leave also? And they said, Lord, where are we going to go? It's you that has the words that changes our life. And they would come, as we've looked in the book of John, we saw that they'd come from everywhere to follow him. He went about all over, from Galilee down to Judea, selecting his disciples. And they came and they gave up everything as they've come to him to follow him, to have a life-changing experience through him and by him. You study and you find out that people would go into the wilderness, into the desert places to hear his voice, to hear his preaching. They would go. They would go without food for days. They would go just to hear him preach. Just to hear what he had to say. They would leave their jobs. Nothing was more important than the words of God. Nothing sufficed or would do for them until they got to sit and to listen to what he had to say. They would go without food, go without water, just to go and hear what a man had to say. How wonderful it would be to get to go and hear him preach, to ride in the boat with him and watch as he spoke, that the waves would lay prostrate and that the wind would be slain in the spirit by his words. He'd go into a house and start preaching. And the house would fill up with people. Be sitting in the windowsills and in the door, hanging on the furniture and sitting around on the floor. One guy was so desperate to hear his words, he says, Take me up on the roof. Tear a hole in it. Drop me down. I got to hear him. I got to be in his presence. How wonderful it would be, we think. Turn in your Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. Jesus was preaching one day in a church, in a synagogue. And he's told the people, he says, you're not following me because of the miracles or because I am the Son of God. You're following me for the fishes and the loaves. You're following me because you want to make me king. You want me to supply all your needs. You don't want to work. You don't want to be successful. You want me to take care of you in every way. You following me for the loaves and the fishes. You don't think you should have to do anything. If you make me king, then you'll have a great welfare state. And you won't have to do anything except bring me a fish and a loaf and I'll multiply it. And I'm not doing that for you. He says, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said this to them four times. And the Bible says that many left because this was a hard saying. It's a hard teaching. Who can bear it? And Jesus says, does this offend you? Well, my goodness, I'm sorry. Let me add a little more salt to the wound that I've just inflicted. He would confront the religious leaders of his day. He would go to people that he knew were hirelings, people that he knew had no understanding of the Word of God. He would go to them and he would face them and he would say, you're a brood of vipers. You're a bunch of snakes. And not only are you a snake, but your mama was a snake and your daddy was a snake. You're a generation of snakes. Really nice guy. But yet, this was what people would leave to hear. Forsake jobs, forsake all to follow. This is what was addictive to people. This is what changed people's lives. This is what laid the waves prostrate. And this is what slayed the wind in the spirit. Wasn't some mamby-pamby message. If you want the waves to come into your life and you want the wind to lay prostrate that's blowing against you, you've got to hear the Word of God. Some mamby-pamby preacher is not going to get the job done for you. You need some hard sayings. Say, I need some hard sayings. I want to hear it like Jesus said it. Say that. I want to hear it like Jesus said it. I want a pastor, I want a minister, son of God. Say that. Well, all of you aren't sure, are you? Say it again. I want a pastor and I want a minister, son of God. Man, if you don't, you're wasting your time going to hell. Just being made a son. You made twice the son of hell that the Pharisees are. Find you a Pharisee. Go ahead. Well, I'm glad we can laugh about it. In Matthew 10, Jesus is sending out ministries. He's sending out people that He is sending out. And it's within this passage that we find out what they're supposed to do. It's in this passage we find out what they're supposed to preach. It's in this passage we find the attitude that He told them to have. He said, I want you to go, but I want you to go with an attitude. Here is the mindset that you're going to go with. Here is the message you're going to go with. And for the most part, people will not sit under these ministries. As long as the fishes and the loaves are happening, things are fine. We'll get in the boats and go follow Him. But buddy, when the hard sayings come, and we begin to feel the conviction of the Holy Ghost, when the rock is thrown into the pack of dogs and one yelps, which one got hit? And I found that so oftentimes. I'll throw the rock, the Word of the living God, into the pack and somebody hollers. I don't like that. I don't like your attitude. And they're the one that got hit. And in Matthew chapter 10, I'm going to read many verses, much more than normal. And you follow along with me, okay? And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power. What did he give them? Power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases. First thing that ministry should have is a power, an authority. Ministry should have something that they've got that will deliver you and heal you from all manners of things. If they don't have this, then it's not of God, number one. And he says, I want you to go. And then he names the 12 disciples, and they are specific. Men of God are specific. Right? I mean, they are. They're just not just anybody and everybody. He names them. He chooses them. And he sends them out. And then in verse 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them. Say commanded. Amen. Commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What was the title of their message? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. There's the outline of ministry. Provide neither gold or silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip, nor your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. I'll talk about that in a minute. And unto whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who is worthy. Say worthy.
Worthy.
Say who is worthy?
Worthy.
Inquire. Who is worthy? Name of the message today? Who is worthy? I'm inquiring. Who's worthy? Am I biblical? Come on now. I don't know if I like this, Pastor. And there abide till you go thence. And when you go into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it is not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Whereby I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. And be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of man. Say, beware of man. Beware of man. For they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Now let's jump. He's saying here that don't worry about this stuff. I'm going to give you what you need to say. Verse 20 says that specifically. Verse 24. Reading. The disciple is not above his master, nor the steward above his Lord. Verse 26. Fear them not. Say, fear them not. First he says, beware of man. Then he says, fear them not. Therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speaketh the light, and what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them. First he says, beware of man. Then he says, fear not them. And then he says again, fear not them, which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him, which is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. Are not to spare a soul for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. fear ye not. Are you getting the attitude that you're supposed to have? Are you hearing this? There's an attitude. It's an arrogant attitude. It's a non-fearful attitude. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, against his daughter, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be them of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Lord, add your blessings today to your word. What's the title today? Are you worthy? This is a question you must ask individually. You must not aim it at me. You must not aim it at your brother or your sister. But it's you, O Lord, that must stand and say, am I worthy? How am I standing in the things of God? Am I worthy? So the Bible talks often. He says he sent out his 12. And the Bible says he commanded them. He commanded them. Wasn't a suggestion. What was it? A command. Wasn't a, if you want to, or if the church lets you, or if it works out this way. He says, this is how it will be done. I command you this. Now, he's the boss. And he's the Lord. And so, a man or a woman of God, sent of God, has a command upon their lives to do things a certain way. And if we vary from that, if we go in another direction, we are being disobedient to the Word of God and the command that He's put upon our lives. Do you understand that? And it's a command. There is a command upon my life. If I am a man of God, then there is a command upon my life to do things a certain way. Here's how He commands that they be done. And so He commanded them, and He sent them forth into an area. And He tells you specifically where you need to go. And when you hear the voice of the Lord, He's going to tell you the area that you need to go into. He's going to tell you the people that you need to minister to. And then He says there in verse 7, He says, I want you to go and I want you to preach the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is the message. Everything that is in heaven is at your hand. You can have it if you want it. You can have an abundant life if you want it. If you just reach out your hand, you can have heaven. We don't have to be sick. There is no sickness in God's heaven. We don't have to be poor. There is no poverty in God's heaven. We don't have to be fighting with our spouse because there's no fighting in God's heaven. And we can have heaven on earth. We pray it all of our life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But we really don't understand it. With something out yonder one day. He says, preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then he says something. He says, heal the sick. Don't pray for the sick. What does he say? Heal the sick. Speak to little girls laying in a bed after a car wreck and their livers are burst to pieces. Speak to her. Heal her. Speak to kidneys in a lady who's failing. Speak to them and heal them. little boy's deaf ears in Trinidad. Don't just pray for him. Heal it. My goodness. You got to have an attitude. And we say, oh, Jesus, we know we can't heal anybody because if your spirit that move, it just won't happen. Is that what he says here? Pray for them, and if the spirit moves, they'll be healed. What does he say? Heal them. He didn't say pray that the demon will come out of it. Get a hold of him and throw him out of there. Don't just clean up lives. Don't just pray that lives will be cleaned up. Cleanse the lepers. This is all right. This is the command. It's not a suggestion. He doesn't say, now if you want to, pray for people. He says, heal people. He doesn't say, if you want to, you know, pray for demons, they'll come out. Cast them out. It's a command. Now, this is the ministry that he sends out. Now, if you don't want this kind of ministry, it's up to us. But this is biblical, sent out of God ministry. Then he says in 9:10-11, don't take your money, use theirs. Is that what it says? A workman is worthy of his hire. In other words, if it's worth it, you'll pay for it. If a ministry is worth it, you'll do what's necessary to keep it up. If it's a worthy ministry, you won't have to use your money, your purse, your gold. And they came from miles to hear him say these things in the wilderness. And they would leave their homes and their jobs and their families and their houses to go and hear him say these kinds of things. And some of you right now, when I said that, are thinking about getting up and walking out. I can't take this. Who does he think he is? He's got an attitude, doesn't he? Yes, he does. Because you see, if I labor in the Word of God, then I'm worthy. If I don't just pray for you, but get you healed, I'm worthy. If I help you get your life cleaned up, I'm worthy. Well, now let's move on. And in verse 13, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Verse 11, and into whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go thence. Now, what is worthy, or worthy of what? Pardon? Your time. Whose time? Ministry's time. Do we see this? What is the house worthy of? What is the city worthy of? You need to answer this. Is it worthy of that man of God or that woman of God to be there? Now, that's how I read it, because that's what it's saying. If it is a man or a woman of God, you have to make that decision. Support it. And count it worthy. Rather than it chasing you. Hello? Do you realize that most preachers spend their time chasing people not worthy of Him? Most of my time is spent chasing people who He Himself says are not worthy of Him. If you say that your family is superior, if you love it more than you love Him, He says you are not worthy of Him. If there's anything that is in front of Him in your list of priorities, He says, you are not worthy of Him. And yet, I spend my time running after you that are not worthy of Him. Instead of healing the sick, casting out devils, preaching the kingdom of God is at hand, I get all discouraged and all depressed and all upset because you're not worthy of Him. And I'm trying to do something that'll get you worthy of Him, and you don't care. Say, I really want a man of God. Say that. Say, I really want. I want him to say it like Jesus said it. Do you really? Jesus would come and He would shake the religious minds. He shook them. Paul would call him. Paul would talk to him. He'd shake their minds. Peter. These men of God would come and shake the minds of the religious. I'm thinking of a passage. It's in Philippians. And Paul is preaching there in our writing, and he says, man, you want to know a Pharisee? I was one. The best one. He says, you want to know all this stuff? Yeah, I was one. I was a tribe of Benjamin. I was a hot shot. And he said, but I count it all but dung. Now, that's King James translation. Some interpretations translate that as refuse, human refuse. But if Paul were here today, and if Paul were to say that today, Paul would not say dung. He would use a word that would shake your mind. My wife's saying, don't do it. Don't do it. Because she knows I want to. She knows I want to. That would profit nothing. You got the understanding. You've already heard it. And Jesus was that way. And His ministry is that way. Because it does not fear men. And if you haven't learned that about me yet, then I don't know what I've got to do. Because he says here, after he says this, he says, dust the feet. In other words, don't waste your time. Let's read that verse in verse 14. And whatsoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. What he's saying is, don't fool around. Don't waste your time on people that are not worthy. Don't keep staying there if ain't something happening. Don't waste your time here in this city, in this house, if people are not listening to what you say, if people are not responding to you, if people are not counting you worthy, dust your feet off and go someplace else where they will. Wayne Williams felt that as he was here. And he says, I'm not allowing the spirit of this area to come upon me. The complacency spirit of this area to get on me. I will load my tractor trailer up, and me and my tractor trailer will be heading up the highway. In other words, what he's saying is, I'll dust my feet off and I'll go to the next place. Because I want somebody who's hungry for God. And he tells me, he commands me, Delbert, don't stay there. It's a command, folks. If the people are not worthy, don't stay there. Don't waste your time there. I was praying the other day. Yesterday. Day before yesterday. It's Friday. When the Lord spoke this to me. I said, Lord, you got to help me. I just don't know. I'm drying up. And the Lord, I said, is this it or are there others? And when I said others, something sparked in me. I don't know what all that means yet. But there's somebody else. There's others who are waiting to hear the gospel of the kingdom of heaven and that it's at hand. And he says here, after he said this, don't waste your time with people that are not seeking after me, that will not receive of me, that do not want to hear my words. Get out of there. And then he says, I'm sending you forth. You'll have to go sometimes in the midst of wolves. In verse 17, he says, but beware of man. Beware of man. It's amazing. Don't beware of the devil. Beware of man. Man's the problem. Man's the Pharisee. Man's the people that won't receive. The devil believes and trembles. I don't want to change. I don't want my life to be different. I like living in my misery. I like being in debt like I am. I like being sick. Beware when that starts happening. Beware when you see people getting complacent. And then he tells us in 24 and 25 that if they didn't like him, they're not going to like you. He said, don't think you got this charismatic thing down pat where you just got everybody that's going to like you. He said, if they call me Beelzebub, you think they're going to do you differently? They're not going to like you, Delbert. But that's not the issue. Your issue is not to fear them. The most they can do to you is kill your body. That's the absolute most any of you can do to me. It's the hardest you could hurt me physically. Don't fear that. But do fear Him. He's got your soul. He gave you the command to go and told you what to preach. Verse 28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. I'll take care of you. Are not just two little sparrows sold for so much? They're valuable. Little sparrows, just little birds to eat. They're worth something. You're much more valuable than a lot of sparrows. I'll take care of you. I really know how many hair you have on your head. And he says, I will take care of you. If you just do it my way. Do it my way. There's a blessing. Verse 21. Fear ye not. Therefore, ye are more valuable than many sparrows. Whatsoever, therefore, who confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But if you don't do it my way, if you cuddle up to people, if you preach a mamby-pamby word, you don't preach what I say, you've lost my confession of you before the Father. Now you're on your own. As long as you're doing it my way, I'll take care of you. I'll confess you before the Father, and He'll take care of you. But now if you want to get out there on your own and do it your way, then you've lost my confession for you. Think not, Jesus says. Back up one verse, 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will also deny before my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 34. Excuse me. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. How many of you feel peace today? Well, Jesus must be here. Now, I do know He is the Prince of Peace. Okay. And that if you're abiding in God, then you have the peace of God upon you. I understand those things. But the Word of God, folks, is to bring and divide asunder and to separate us from wicked and vile people, people that pull us out of the kingdom, people that pull us down into hell. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It doesn't bring peace. It brings a sword. And it shakes our minds. It separates us from people who are taking us away from God. And I don't care if it's your mother. I don't care if it's your daughter. I don't care if it's your daughter-in-law or mother-in-law. I don't care if it's your father. If you listen to them, well, then you listen to Him. You are not worthy of Him. And you won't get Him. Think not that I came to send peace on the earth. I came to send, not peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, at war, against the daughter, against her mother, the daughter-in-law, against the mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be them of his own household. I'm studying John right now. I'm writing, of course, we're doing our Wednesday night teaching on the book of John. It's been a very enlightening and it's a life-changing teaching to me. Just studying it has changed my life. I've really seen Jesus, maybe for the very first time, the way He's really portrayed in the Scriptures. His arrogance, we got this picture of Jesus, this little wimpy faggot with a bird on his shoulder, you know, or something. This is how we image Him, the little guy holding the lamb. Man, this guy ran people out of churches with whips. He would stand up. He would stand up to the religious system of his day and call them snakes and vipers. He would stand toe to toe with them. So you want to fight? You want to put the gloves on? Let's go for it then. Come on. this offend you? That's what he's, does this offend you? I'm sorry. He never said, I'm sorry. Love is not having to say you're sorry. I mean, the guy was tough. He was a man. He was a man. Powerful, strong, authoritative, with an attitude. This guy had an attitude. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father and his daughter. I know what I was going to say. I'm studying the book of John, and I'm writing now in the 16th chapter, writing the note, 15th chapter, writing the notes. In the 15th chapter, of course, it's the vine, the branches. But he springs off of this into a relationship, and he calls his disciples his friends. And then, you know, you can't choose your mother or your daddy, can you? You can't choose your brothers or your sisters. And it's first the natural and then the spiritual. You can't. Even in the spirit realm. How many of you get to choose God? He chose you. Am I correct? And we don't get to go around choosing who Father's going to be. That's already determined. And we come here and we don't get to choose who goes to church. Who is our brother or our sister? You say that we don't get to. We here, and this is it. And like us or not, we're in, you're your family. We don't get to choose that. But one thing you do get to choose, your friends. And it's in that context that he says, you've not chosen me. I chose you. I hang around folks, my friends, people that I will lay my life down for are not my brothers and my sisters. They're my friends. And you've read the context in John 15. That's exactly what he's saying. He's not going to lay his life down for just any old. But he's not going to wash the feet of the 5,000. Who's he going to wash his feet of? His friends. And you can call me. And if you're my friend, you have agape'd me. And we have developed a relation. Agape love is the fruit of love. It's the love of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace. It's the love of the Spirit. It's a love that has grown and is fruitful. It's a love that has roots to it. It's not some flippant love. It's an agape love. It's a love that has produced fruit. It's a love that has grown in relationship. And if you're my friend and we have agape for one another, we've spent years and we've grown this relationship. Jesus has spent years with these men. And he says, you're my friends. And if you're my friend and you call me, I'll lay my life down. I will stop what I'm doing and go help you. Now, if I just know you, if you're just an acquaintance, if you're one of the 5,000 out there somewhere, I might have mercy on your situation. And I'll get to it when I can. But we're not really worthy of his immediate attention. Now, I know that's hard. And that's not what we've been taught. But why are not your prayers sometimes answered? If the Bible says, and I could turn to it right now and show it to you, but I'm not going to because I'm off my point just a little bit. But if the Bible says, you can ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. But yet you ask, and you ask, and you ask, and nothing ever happens. Why? Are you his friend? Or are you a 5,000er out there that when you get offended, you cut the trail? Well, we got to come to a realization. This guy is so real. He's just like you and he's just like me. Where are you in your relationship with him? The Pharisees minister out of knowledge. He ministers out of relationship. relationship with Father and relationship with you. You will not change your life if you do not have a relationship with Him. You know all about Him. You can read the book. You can quote it. I could read a book on Bill Clinton. I wouldn't, but I could. I could read all about his biography. I could read where he was born at, how he went on a donkey to Egypt, everything. Oh, he went to Britain, didn't he? But he didn't inhale. Bad pastor. Bad pastor. Anyway, you could read the book. You could find all about his life. Who his mama was, who his daddy was, his brothers, sisters. You could find all about him. You could quote the things that he said. But if you got ready to introduce somebody to him, could you? If you wanted to go and shake his hand, could you? No, because you don't know him. You just know about him. And it's a total different mentality of knowing about him and knowing him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. But there's a difference of this writing and the Word. These are words. He is the Word. There's a total difference of me knowing what this book says and knowing Him. Come on now. And my prayer, my place in my life right now, where I'm at, is I want to know Him. I want, not like Paul, only to know. I want to be His friend. I want to be able to be in that upper room with Him. And not because of what I can get out of Him. And I wrote that this week, and I got to get back to my main point, but I just feel like this is helping somebody. Shaking some minds, shaking some mind thoughts. He tells them, and you can read it in John chapter 15 for yourselves. But he tells them, you can ask anything in my name, and I'll do it. Now, Turk, would you give these people in here your PIN number for the teller? Your personal identification. Would you give it for your credit cards? Would you give these people in here your number and your PIN number, your credit card, your account number, your card, and the PIN number? Would you do that? No, you wouldn't. No, it's okay. I wouldn't either. And if I thought you were just being my friend so you could get my PIN number, to get anything you wanted out of me just because you used my PIN number, my name, you're not my friend. You're a jerk. You just wanting to use me. You're not wanting a relationship with me. You want my money. And how many of us want his PIN number, but not him? Oh, Jesus. See, he wants a relationship with you. He wants to get you in that upper room. He wants to sup with you. He wants to wash your feet. He wants you to be worthy of him. Father, let's minister this now. That's enough said. Well, I don't think you've ever given me a message quite like this. It's a hard saying, and I'm sure that it's offended. But that should please you. And Lord, I am an arrogant man. I do have an attitude. But so did Paul, and so did you, Lord. I know that I know you. And I know that you have sent me here to do something. And Lord, I am not going to spend my days when you commanded me to find a people who would listen and who would change and who would bring the kingdom. And so, Lord, cause our minds to be enlightened. I pray the prayer of Paul, Lord, that you would open the eyes of our understanding, that we wouldn't be like baby puppies and baby kittens, that we could mature and we could have our eyes opened, and that we can begin to see. And that we can understand, Lord God, that you're not playing games with us. You're very serious about your kingdom. So serious, Father, that you sent your only begotten to die for it. And so, Lord, I ask you now that you cause our eyes to be enlightened, that our hearts can know you have spoken to us today. As abrasive as it's been, you have spoken. And Lord, we don't want to come out with just vain words and vain repetitions. We want something that will change our lives. And so, are we worthy? Are we worthy of a ministry that you sent? Are we even worthy of you? Do we put things in front of you? Do we love things, money, people? What is it, Lord, that is in our lives before you? And if there is something there, Lord, then show it to us now. And let this ring out, that if there is something, then we're not worthy of you. You must be the priority of life. Nothing else can supersede you. Lord, it's a sobering time. No doubt you spoke it. Minister to us now. Heads bowed. You don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. He is not first in your life. You don't even know Him. There's no way. You never met Him, never confessed Him as Lord, but you want to. You want to know the Jesus that I'm talking about, not the wimpy guy with a bird on his shoulder, but the man who is powerful and at his voice demons tremble and the sea lays prostrate. You want to know this Jesus? I'd like to introduce you to Him. I know Him. I can do it. If you want to meet Him, would you slip your hand up? I'll introduce you to that Jesus, the Jesus of the Bible. Okay? So I take it that everyone here knows Him. Second question. As I've ministered, it has been abrasive, but yet it's true and you know it. And you've investigated your life and you see that there are things that you have placed before Him. But you want to be worthy of Him. And you've heard the word of the Lord today that it is time to investigate our lives and see, are we worthy of Him? If that's you today, that's you, and you want to make sure. You're not going to come down here. I just want to know if you've heard the Spirit of God. You're going to be looking into your own life. You're going to be investigating it. You're going to be adjusting your priorities. If this is you today and this is spoken to you, would you slip your hand up? Just let me know the Spirit of God's been here. He's here. Amen. Hands everywhere. Thank you. Thank you. One more. Very personal one. One that we just need to evaluate. Do you have a ministry here that's worthy? Do you have a man and a family of God in your leadership that you know is a worthy ministry. Son of God, do you know? Do you know this? Is it? I don't want any response. I don't want you to raise your hand. This is just a closing question. Do you know? And if not, my admonition to you, I beg you, get one that is. Leave this place and find you one that is. It is too important. It is eternally important. One day you will need a man or a woman of God to heal you. One day you will need a man or a woman of God to help you get through a bad time, a demonic time in your life. You must have a ministry that is worthy. Hear that. That is the message. And then if it is, do what it says. Don't fool with me. Don't play games with me. You be here when you're supposed to be here. You praise like you're supposed to praise. You give like you're supposed to give. You support this place like you're supposed to support it. Stop playing games. And if not, then find you one as you can. Father, I did it. Now, if I've been wrong, you forgive me. I pray you forgive me. But Lord, I believe it's the Word of God. It's a serious time. Now, Lord, tell me, show me how to get from this place into a very happy and rejoicing place before we leave. Lord, I don't want to go out of here with this on us. So let's do something. Let's come and sing a song. Let's do Walk by Faith or something.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Can we crank it up? Would you like to do that? Yes, okay. I do too. It's a serious time, folks. It's a serious time in my life. I hope you hear me. I just hope you're here and you're kind of reading between the lines and just listening to what the Spirit of God is saying. I am at a very, very strange time in my life. Okay? I'm not content. And I've got to have people that want to go with God. I've got to have it. I've got to have it. And that's not a threat. Okay? I'm not manipulating you or threatening you. A pastor this week, I'll just tell you everything. Pastor this week called me and wants me to go to Nashville and begin a work. We're supported. And it may not be something, it's not an either-or situation. I believe it's going to be a both-and. I want it to be a both-and. But I just cannot stay where there's not the Spirit of God moving and happening and things going good. And so we're just really sensing what God wants to do. And I hope you understand that I can only be in the will of God. I am totally miserable outside of that. I love Him. He is the number one. You're not number one. This church is not number one. My wife is not number one. He is number one. Amen? And you saw that today. He is my priority. And I will do what He leads me to do. I must. Amen. If I want to be worthy. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, let's praise Him because He's worthy of our praise.